This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Tis the season for end-of-the-year lists, especially lists of favorite music. But there's probably no list that's more diverse, more wide-ranging, more mind-blowing than that of Anthony Fantano of The Needle Drop. The internet's busiest music nerd has some 250,000 subscribers to his YouTube channel. Is that right? 250,000 subscribers?
A quarter million.
He's a big star in the world of online music reviews, far surpassing his humble beginnings here at WNPR. Now, a few times a year, we love to check back in with him and find out what he loves. It's the best way for us to fill up our iPhones with music. We want to hear from you. What rock and pop, soul, folk, rap are you listening to this year? Call us 860-275-7266. 860-275-7266. You can tweet your thoughts to Where We Live. You can also email us wherewelive@wnpr.org. And Tucker Ives, our producer, pulled together some favorite music picks of the WNPR staff. You'll find that at our website, wnpr.org. We'll be adding to that throughout the course of the day. You might be hearing some of those as well. Tucker, let's get started with a little Daft Punk. So, Anthony, we've talked about this record before, and of course, it was one of the biggest hits of 2013, but it's one of your favorite albums of the year. It's this disco, retro, wonderful little thing that just gets everyone dancing all year long.
Yeah, it's a very pristine, clean, fun, bouncy, danceable record. It was an album that I wasn't too crazy about the lead singles going into the record. Get Lucky, one of the biggest hits of the year, a song that I do like, but I wasn't crazy about the falsetto vocals on it and some of the vocal effects on the Julian Casablancas led track, but the deep cuts on this record, especially this lead track from the album, are just so good. They're so catchy. I think nostalgia and revivalism have just been a really big thing over the past few years, especially new wave, with a bit of disco music mixed in as well, which I know Colin's done a thing about as well.
Absolutely,
on his show.
Yeah.
And I really think that, this has sort of been the zenith of all this revivalism thus far. I mean, there have been a lot of people looking back and trying to recreate a lot of these older sounds, and I think Daft Punk really sort of came through and did it best and, sort of showed themselves to not only be great dance music producers, but to be, connoisseurs and very familiar with the roots of the genre, going back to when a lot of the instruments that you would hear in the mix were not, in fact, electronic, live instrumentation.
Well, this is, of course, one of the records of the year, and that's what we're going to be doing all throughout this hour, is talking about some of Anthony's favorite music of the year, some of our favorite music of the year, and some of yours as well at 860-275-7266. Anthony mentioned Get Lucky, of course, one of the two or three big singles of the year. If you're lucky and you stick around for the rest of the hour, you may hear an instant cover version by one of my favorite bands a little bit later on. Now, a big band that has recorded a number of albums over the years, they're kind of a heavy metal band, and they have a lot of guest stars in their record, but this new Queens of the Stone Age record, Anthony, is really, really, I don't know how else to say it, it's just really awesome. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I know you did too.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite records of the year in my top five, and I never considered myself a giant Queens of the Stone Age fan, especially considering their last two records not having been favorites of mine. But this new record of theirs, I mean, like you said, they do have a lot of guest stars on, like Trent Reznor, and Elton John pops on for a track too. However, you wouldn't really know unless you read the credits. They really, play into the overall aesthetic of the record really well. I mean, really, if you're just looking for a straightforward rock record with great production, great guitar tones, fantastic lead vocals from Josh, and some slightly dreary but very catchy songs, then check this thing out.
Yeah. That's Queens of the Stone Age, I Sat by the Ocean, from their release in 2013, one of Anthony Fantano's favorites of the year. We're going to get to some of your favorites in a moment at 860-275-7266. One of the things I love about this track, too, is you mentioned the 70s and disco. This sounds like it was sort of produced in the 1970s, and it could be playing on classic rock radio. It makes me sort of feel like my childhood again.
The guitar tones definitely speak to that. I mean, like you said, Josh Homme does have, you know, a bit of a background or at least some influence in heavy metal music, in stoner rock specifically. And you could definitely tell that in the way that he plays guitar, in the guitar tones that he shoots for. And, I mean, you know, you're essentially looking at a much poppier display of those sounds on this record, which makes it so catchy but also gives it kind of an edge. And I think on this record, too, and this sort of disappointed some Queens of the Stone Age fans, some of the band's dreariest songs are on this record, too. Definitely not their most aggressive effort, you know, but I think that they really pulled together a good mix of those sadder tones and those, you know, heavier tones, too, into just like a very punchy and memorable and melodic record.
Let's go to Pete, who's calling from Shelton. Hey, Pete, you're on Where We Live. What are you listening to? Pete,
well,
Pete, are you there? Pete? Let's put Pete back on hold and see if we can get to him. I want to actually play one of our producer Tucker Ives' tracks of the year and get you to respond, Anthony, because, you know, look, this is one of the big hit records of the year, and NPR Music and a lot of other big-time music reviewers love this new Arcade Fire record. So, Anthony, this Arcade Fire record that an awful lot of people really, really loved was seen by many people as their dance record, like a little bit more of a party record than the band has made before. What were your thoughts?
I wasn't as crazy about the record as some people were. This is kind of the opposite of the Daft Punk record for me in that I was really excited by all the lead singles, this song and Reflector specifically, which is one of my favorite singles of the year. But I just wasn't crazy about what the band had done on the rest of the LP. I just thought the rest of the album was kind of disjointed and had some of my least favorite Arcade Fire songs on it, not only because I didn't think the songs were as catchy or as explosive or cinematic as their songs typically are, but I felt like they were reappropriating a lot of world music influences in a way that I didn't find to be all that tasteful. And I mean, honestly, I wasn't all that crazy about a lot of the production that James Murphy brought to the table. I think instead of giving Arcade Fire a really lush, open, extravagant sound like they usually have, he gave them sort of a claustrophobic and distorted sound on some of the tracks, which I didn't really enjoy to hear that much from them, where I do enjoy to hear it on an LCD sound system record, you know, where I'm getting a bunch of just very basic, straightforward dance beats and really kind of cheeky words and lyrics, whereas with Arcade Fire, maybe I'm looking for something a little bit more lavish, and I just didn't get that this time around.
I will say, that band is the band that I consistently go back to and say, I'm supposed to really love Arcade Fire, and I just don't. I don't know why that is, but time and time again, I feel somehow disappointed.
I mean, I think Arcade Fire is a fantastic band, and I love their first three records. And if you are going to try to get into them, I think their first record is definitely Funeral, the entryway. You know, this record to me would not be the entryway. I mean, not only because some of my least favorite Arcade Fire songs are on this record, but it is one of their most cumbersome records to a double disc that has a lot of material on it. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna put down the fact that they did go into this thing with a lot of ambition. You know, and I think every record they put out so far has just been a very slight change in pace where they've been progressing, whereas they really tried to do something a little bit more radical on this LP.
Let's go back to our friend Pete in Shelton. I think we got your line back, Pete. Hey, you're on Where We Live.
Hi, guys. Nice to talk to you. Happy holidays and all that to you guys, too.
Yeah.
Recently, I've just discovered a band. I mean, I've heard of them back in the 90s, but now I've been paying closer attention to them and deeper cuts in all their albums. The band is Radiohead, and they are fantastic. Their writing is just really incredible, and it seems like they're very diverse in what they're doing. And their music also has this, it touches you deeply in a way that not too many bands do. So I just wanted to throw that out there to you guys and see what you think.
Well, Pete, thank you very much. No new Radiohead record in 2013, is there, Anthony?
No, there was a new Atoms for Peace record, though. Pete, have you caught the new Atoms for Peace record? Atoms for Peace being a side project of Tom York's, where on this record, with this group in particular, they pursued a lot of the electronic sounds and drum patterns and loops that they had played with on King of Limbs, but I think actually did a much better job with it. It was actually kind of the record I wish King of Limbs was.
Well, and I'll also just say quickly, moving into that world of Radiohead, a lot of Radiohead fans from the 1990s don't really appreciate it so much. I think from a few years back, Tom York's solo record, The Eraser, is a beautiful, wonderful, interesting record.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of with you here. And if you're going to move into that direction, maybe Atoms for Peace is more the Radiohead record that a lot of people are looking for. But that's something for you to check out, Pete. Thank you very much for that. Let's see. We got a note here from Neil. Tweets us, Arcade Fire is coming to Bridgeport, Connecticut on March 18th. Will be a blast. Reflector is a tremendous album. Can't wait till they visit Connecticut. We got some more tweets this year. John's been listening to Enter the Haggis, Caravan of Thieves, and others. We also heard from Sophia, who tweeted back at me. She said, I heard Quiet Life. Sean Spellman was on our show doing a solo set here, and ever since, it's been one of my favorites. They put out a really nice record and then went on a big tour of Alaska earlier this year. If you want to share some of your thoughts, you can email us wherewelive@wnpr.org. You can tweet us at wherewelive or give us a call. 860-275-7266. Let us know what you're listening to. Now, Anthony, on the way out here, let's start to listen to this a little bit, Tucker. I want to play, this is one of my favorite songs of the year. They're a duo of producers from England called Delata, and they haven't put out a record in a lot of years. It's sort of an Afrobeat sound, and you know that I dig Afrobeat. But my favorite Brazilian singer guests on this, her name is Luisa Maita. She's coming to Collinsville, actually, in March. Listen a little bit to Delata with Luisa Maita playing here and singing with them. When we come back, more music from Anthony Fantano, Where We Live. This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. We're wrapping up the year in music, this big year for music, 2013, with Anthony Fantano. He's the internet's busiest music nerd, don't you know? Yes, his blog and vlog is called The Needle Drop, and it's wildly popular, Anthony. 250,000 subscribers now on YouTube. Did you ever think that you'd have this many people watching you do music reviews?
Heck no. I didn't even think the YouTube channel would take off in the way that it did. I just thought it would supplement everything I did at WNPR.
Yes, yes. But see, now he's far exceeded his dreams at WNPR, and he's with us once again to talk about some of his favorite music of the year. If you want to find out more of both Anthony's favorite music and our favorite music here at WNPR, you can go to WNPR.org and check it out. We're going to bring in our friend Ed McCune, who's a longtime folk director at WWUH in Hartford. His show on Wednesday mornings is called Caterwaul. And Ed, first of all, Happy New Year to you. Good to hear from you.
Hi, John. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
What's up?
We're doing well. So real quick, before we hear your song of the year, the song that you brought to us here, what was this year like for you in music, Ed?
I think like most years, and Anthony will probably confirm this, it's I don't think I've ever said it's been a bad year in music. It's been a great year in music. I think we've seen trends like young people continuing to discover what we call folk music or loosely call folk music. And you know, places like the Newport Folk Festival selling out months in advance. So it was a good year. A lot of great songs, a lot of great established artists, and a lot of great young artists coming up too.
And it seems like with the release of this new Coen Brothers movie, there may be another kind of a folk revival, like they sparked with "O Brother, Where Art Thou" a few years ago, and an Americana revival. It seems as though this brand new movie about the folk scene in the '60s in New York might kind of do the same thing.
I saw the movie. I thought it's extremely interesting, and it is this dynamic battle between traditional music and singer-songwriters, which has always been at the heart of folk music for the past 40 years.
Colin McEnroe is actually going to be talking about Inside Llewyn Davis this afternoon at 1 o'clock on the Colin McEnroe Show, if you want to continue that conversation. Before we hear a little bit more from Ed, Anthony, some folk music that was really interesting to you this year? Did you have some things that really stood out for you, Anthony?
I mean, the new Bill Callahan record, Dream River, you know, most definitely rung true for me.
This is actually something we want to listen to a little bit. This is a song called Summer Painter.
For a summer, for luck you keep the same first letter. You don't want bad luck at sea.
Bill Callahan's voice is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something that I'm not used to hearing outside of, say, I don't know, a book on tape or a voiceover for an NPR documentary. It doesn't sound like a regular singer-songwriter voice in the way it's mic'd even. It sounds as though you're kind of inside his head. It's a beautiful, beautiful sound. And some of the wordplay on these songs, it's just beautiful. And they paint some beautiful pictures.
Yeah, the song specifically, I mean, you know, really more of a folk rock record than just a straightforward folk record. And this song being one of my favorites because of its story of whether or not it's true or whether or not it's personal, I don't know. But it's really just sort of about this person or this character who sort of makes his very affordable living painting boats, painting names on boats, painting, you know, whatever he's told to paint on the boats, and then sort of a hurricane comes through and sort of wipes out the port that he works at, and he sort of uses this as an opportunity to sort of just change his life and just sort of leave town since there's nothing for him to do there anymore.
That opening line, this idea of painting boats for the summer, and you paint the first letter the same for luck because you don't want bad luck at sea. It's really just a beautiful image that draws you in very quickly.
Yeah, it's one of the more riveting stories on the album. And the beauty and what's so interesting about Bill's voice is that as soon as you first hear it, it's very gripping because you don't hear a lot of voices like Bill's, and he has so much conviction when he's singing and when he's delivering his lyrics. But the more that you sit with it, the more relaxing his voice becomes as well. You know, it slowly becomes just this very familiar, very warm, and very welcoming thing too.
Ed McCune, talk a little bit about this line that is really being crossed all the time around folk music in America and actually around the world right now. Records like this Bill Callahan record that's sort of kind of a folk record, but not really. I'm assuming that you're encountering an awful lot of these things in your listening this year.
Yeah, there's a bunch of it. I mean, the Bill Callahan record is a great example. You know, it starts with the instrumentation, that it's mostly acoustic. It's quieter than a rock album, you know, although folk music does have a backbeat these days. But it's also, you know, and I think the fact that you mentioned story, they are story songs. I think that's at the heart of what folk music has always been. Pop music is a little more about introspection and love and how angry I am or how happy I am, whereas folk music tends to tell a story. It's not always the case, but it is often the case.
So now, Ed, you brought a track for us. Why don't you set this up for us and let us know what we're going to hear here?
Well, this is an interesting track. It's one of my favorites of the year. It was released by Lucy Wainwright Roach, who is the daughter of Loudon Wainwright and Suzzy Roach, who was a singer with the Roaches. Very musical family. And it's not a song she wrote. She's a great songwriter, but it, on her new album, which is called There's a Last Time for Everything, she did this cover song, and it was a dance hit in 2011 by a Swedish singer and songwriter whose name is Robin. And it was really a very electronic, popular dance hit. And Lucy Wainwright Roach found the core song in it, which is a beautiful song, a beautiful story, and stripped it of all that electronic stuff and turned it into a folk song.
Well, let's do this first. If, for people who don't remember this hit, let's just listen to a little bit of Robin's Call Your Girlfriend.
Call your girlfriend. It's time you had the talk. Give your reasons. Say it's not her fault. But you just met somebody new. Tell her not to get upset, tell her how you never meant to hurt no one. And you tell her that the only way her heart will mend is when she learns to love again. And it won't make sense right now, but you're still a friend. And then you
That's Lucy Wainwright Roach, and the song is Call Your Girlfriend. I love that. It's a beautiful version of a song that I guess I never would have thought could have been that beautiful.
Right. I actually didn't know the original version until I kind of researched backwards and found where it came from. But it proves once again that a good song is a good song is a good song. It's hard to defeat it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it turns into a really beautiful song, Anthony.
It does. I mean, you know, I feel like... that it really reaches kind of a new depth of emotion, you know, and that's why I think that as old hat as some of it seems, that, you know, writing songs like this and delivering songs with this more stripped down acoustic style, you know, it's never going to fade, you know, because it's sort of, you know, has this sort of personal intimacy that that, you know, the original there and a lot of music like it doesn't exactly reach. However, you know, the song that we just played doesn't exactly reach a level of virality and, you know, a level of instantaneousness as well. So, I mean, you know, both sides of the fence have their appeals. You know, it's just that, you know, sometimes you want chocolate, sometimes you want vanilla.
and this is a beautiful, beautiful song. Ed, before I let you go, Anthony's talking about that intimacy. I want to thank you for something. You turned me on to a band called Wild Ponies. They're an Americana duo of Doug and Talisha Williams.
Yeah, they're great.
I didn't know about them, and they were coming to play at my farm, my farm, a Holcomb farm up in Granby. And so I decided to go, and I will just say very quickly that not only was it a great, great performance, they did some cover tunes and many of their own, but they also sang perhaps the saddest song I've ever heard delivered to me personally. It's a song called Iris from their new record called Things That Used to Shine. It's beautiful and it's heart-wrenching, and it's something that I guess I would highly recommend, as you do too, I'm sure.
It is a great album, and it's part of a trend that kind of came out of the band The Civil Wars, the male-female duet that was very successful last year. There have been a bunch of these duets that have released albums this year, and that's one of the best.
Again, the album is Things That Used to Shine. It's a new record by Doug and Talisha Williams. They call themselves Wild Ponies. Ed McCune is longtime folk director at WWUH at the University of Hartford. His show on Wednesday mornings is called Catterwall. Always good to talk to you, Ed, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
If you want to join us, 860-275-7266 for some of your music of the year as we go through it with Anthony Fantano, the Internet's busiest music nerd. Valentina is calling from Bloomfield. Hi there, Valentina.
I'm calling to mention an artist that I happen to hear on one of the local public radio stations that plays jazz occasionally. Her name is Cecile McLaurin-Salvo, and I had never heard of her. And I was flipping through stations and heard this voice and this tone that just absolutely stopped me in my tracks, and I had to stand there and listen to the rest of the song. And as soon as it was over, you know, went Googling to find out who it was. She just had an amazing, amazing voice that really, like, penetrates you and touches you in a way that you're not expecting.
Well, Valentina, I'm so glad you mentioned that. And if you've never heard of Cecile, you can actually go online to WNPR.org and listen. Colin McEnroe wrote a very nice post about jazz vocals in which he has a video of Cecile performing. And you can also find out more of their favorite jazz of the year. This was mentioned on his jazz show just the other day. So go to WNPR.org. If you want to email us where we live at WNPR.org, you can tweet us at where we live. As we're sort of in this folk music vein here, I want to talk about this Foxygen record, Anthony, and we're going to hear a track in just a moment, but Foxygen is just a really, really interesting band that can do a lot of things, and they do on their new album, one of the ones that you really like this year.
Yeah, definitely one of my favorite rock and pop records of this year. They're another group that sort of does this whole throwback thing. The name of the record, if I don't mix up any words, is We Are the 21st Century Ambassadors of Peace and Magic. Really overloaded, you know, album title, but
the
music itself on the record is really accessible, and they're really in love with a lot of the rock, folk rock sounds and pop music sounds of the 60s and of the 70s, and, you know, they're just really old. They're just young dudes with old souls, and there's actually a music video for the lead single off of their new record where they take a lot of psychedelic visual movie effects of that time and just sort of overblow them until, you know, they're just way more intense and zanier than they ever would have been, you know, in that era. And yeah, you know, there's some wild, just crazy tracks on here where the vocals are maybe a little overstated, you know, with shouting and yelling than they would have been back then. There's a track here that we're about to play where I think the boyishness and just sort of the tongue-in-cheek weirdness of some of the lyrics as well sort of plays to more of a modern attitude. But yeah, it's just really all about kind of going back and just reliving a lot of these old sounds and just enjoying them.
And this is what I was thinking about when we were talking earlier about going back to the 70s, that Queens of the Stone Age record kind of sounded like it could have been like a Thin Lizzy record from the 1970s, or, you know, the disco that came out of Daft Punk. Well, this is San Francisco. It's from Foxygen. Just listen and maybe you can travel back in time. There's so much to like about that. That's Foxygen's song, San Francisco, but I wanted to make sure we got to the chorus, which just kind of makes me laugh and feel good every time I hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like the record a lot. I'm not as crazy about it as their previous record, which I think took a lot of these, you know, Rolling Stones, Bowie, Kinks, the Animals sounds, and mash them up together really crazily. You've heard the record,
yeah.
You know, one moment it sounds like a Stone song, one moment it sounds like a Bowie song, and it just switches gears really quickly. Here they really focused on trying to write coherent songs that sound uniform from beginning to end. And though I am sort of sad to see sort of that crazier side go on this record, I think they succeeded in that.
We're going to hear some more of Anthony's favorite music of the year. We want to hear some of yours as well at 860-275-7266. Justin's from Stanford. Hi, Justin. Go ahead.
Good morning. How's it going? How's it going, guys?
It's going well. What's up, Justin?
Not too much. I just wanted to discuss an artist I recently came across, kind of a country western folkish kind of guy named Blaze Foley. He ran with some pretty high profile names like Townes Van Zandt back in the day, and he died relatively obscure in 1989. He had nothing recorded, but his music just kind of has lived on over the last 25 years through people he knew from around Austin, Texas, just constantly, you know, getting the word out there about him. And, you know, I kind of discovered him about 2 weeks ago. And I've just been, you know, really excited about him. And, you know, I've been trying to tell as many people about him as I can, just trying to get the word out there.
Are there live recordings? Or are people covering his songs? Or how is the word spreading?
There are. Actually, the way I discovered him was Merle Haggard has a hit that's actually a cover of a Blaze Foley song called If I Could Only Fly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to that, and I was kind of just reading a message board on YouTube while I was listening to that, and saw people commenting on who the original artist was. And I went and started listening to his version. I heard it was fantastic. Started listening to every other one of his songs, and they were all excellent. And most recordings are what you can hear from him are live, and he's got a pretty interesting story.
Well, Justin, first of all, thank you very much for the phone call. And that's another one of the things, Anthony, we talk a lot about how you come across all this music, and people are putting out new music constantly. But another thing that just this world allows us to do is rediscover things that were done many, many, many years ago for the very first time with fresh ears, or maybe the recordings are coming out for the first time. This is happening all the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just saw a documentary the other day. I mean, the story is nothing new because I had already owned the band's record. I think it dropped in like 2010 or 2009, but I just watched the newly released documentary of that Detroit band, a band called Death.
A band called Death, yeah.
And, you know, I was just really happy to sort of see their story. And, you know, recently that whole Searching for Sugar Man thing, you know, that documentary came out, even though that story isn't entirely new either. A lot of people have been kind of jumping on to that because of the documentary that dropped. But yeah, you know, it's it all goes back to sort of the revivalism thing. I think, you know, people are able to, using the internet now, just sort of lock themselves into a certain sound or a certain style of music that they're interested in specifically, and they don't have to necessarily, you know, be on top of whatever pop culture may or may not be gravitating toward at the time. You know, they can just kind of lock themselves into, you know, a certain folk sound from a certain time period and listen to nothing but that, and not only listen to artists that people already know of from that era and have documented heavily, but, you know, discover artists that maybe haven't exactly had their 15 minutes.
Well, and coming up a little bit later on, our friend Rich Martin from New London is actually going to be here, and he brought in a band called Death to New London to play one of the many festivals that was happening throughout the course this year. I just want to talk for a second about something, you know, that I was really, really excited about, and I wasn't quite as excited once the record came out, but we're talking about bands that have been around for a very long time with new music, and this is Mazzy Star with the first new record in 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the folks who have not loved the new Mazzy Star record as much say, look, after all these years, there's nothing really new to the sound. It's the same kind of drugged out vocals with a lot of reverb. There's not a lot of new ground. It's background music for a lot of people. It's a background that I love. I wish the record came together for me a little bit more. What were your thoughts about New Mazzy Star?
There are some dream pop artists today that I like that are heavily influenced by Mazzy Star, like Beach House for one, who when they first came out sounded a lot like Mazzy Star. And it's just funny, to at least for me, to hear Mazzy Star make a record like this. And, you know, I am familiar with their older stuff, but, you know, to have a record like this to remind me just of how great the divide is between newer dream pop and older dream pop, and really just how spacious the older stuff and how quiet it really was, and how the newer dream pop stuff, with how vast and loaded with effects that it is and how heavy some of it is, you know, especially some of these Beach House records, how much background music it really isn't, because of how loud it does tend to be. It's just interesting to see an older band make a newer record where they're sort of foregoing a lot of these techniques and a lot of this studio trickery that makes newer sounds so much louder. And, you know, while I wasn't crazy about the songs, and I do agree that there were some limitations in the fact that they didn't really progress the sound at all, it was still, you know, an interesting listen.
And if you want to join us, 860-275-7266. When we come back, we'll get to some more of your phone calls. We're going to end this segment with one of the favorite songs of our producer, Lydia Brown. This is Aoife O'Donovan. It's called Beekeeper. If you want to join us, it's where we live at WNPR.org, or you can tweet us at where we live.
In the middle of everything I started to see, you said you were a beekeeper, but I heard no bees. I asked you, where do you get your honey? You said, darling, I'm a beekeeper, I'm up to my knees. Oh, I'm a lonely sailor on a sinking boat.
This is Where We Live. I'm John Dankosky. Coming up on Monday's show, a series of stories about homelessness. Of course, every year, this time of year, we think about the issue of people sleeping out of doors, people who do not have a place to call their own. We're going to be tackling this issue coming up on Monday, and I hope you can join us on Monday's Where We Live. And we wish you a very happy new year from all of us here at Where We Live. Our program today looks back at 2013 in music with Anthony Fantano, the host of The Needle Drop. The Needle Drop is, of course, a very successful music blog and video blog that has 250,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. He's here to let us know about some of his favorite music of the year. I want to quickly get to Dave in Killingworth. Hi, Dave. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to bring to your attention the album that has seemed to have gotten lost in the grand scheme of things. The album's name is A Lick and a Promise, and it's by Jake and the Rest of the Jewels.
And what style is it?
Well, it's kind of permanent waves, eclectic music. Jake, to go back, you were talking about the 60s in the Village. Jake, there was a duo called Bunky and Jake, if anybody remembers them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were kind of the darlings of Greenwich Village. Jake went on to play with the Magicians. He played a short stint with the Fugs.
Oh, okay.
The Magicians, two of their alumni, Gary Bonner and Alan Gordon, went on to be two of the founding members of the Turtles.
Okay.
And Jake has always been a favorite amongst musicians, but the masses don't seem to know that much about him.
Well, yeah. And so this is a second. I thank you very much, Dave, and I have to move on, but this is great. We're hearing from a lot of people who are bringing up artists who mm-hmm. we haven't heard as much from, and so this is great. If you want to send us an email, wherewelive@wnpr.org. I want to bring in our friend Rich Martin, who's co-owner of the Telegraph Record Store in New London, Connecticut, one of our favorite little places in the entire state. Hey, Rich, good to talk to you again, and Happy New Year to you.
You too, John. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, so what kind of year was it for you in music?
Well, gosh, it was an amazing year. Just some incredible music came out. So I was very fortunate to be in the thick of it in the record shop. So I get sort of first look at a lot of stuff. And I was, even as much as I've known over the years, I was had a lot of new stuff revealed to me this year. So including my pick for today, which is Man Man's on Oni Pond, which I just found to be an incredible pop record and really took me by surprise. I've been hearing about them for years and heard their songs, but this record really sort of took me by storm.
Let's listen a little bit. I dine where your fingertips tore me. You treated me like a feral animal. Poor Percy riding in the Amazon, a two-man lost in limbo. Has a better chance in hell than I do of keeping cool. Do the good for you, find better to know. Rob right in our time, burn the uterus to the ground. And our hearts are cold. When they want something, throw you under a bus, grind your teeth to dust. You hide in the dark and you suck your blood. That's Man Man from On Oni Pond, which I love the horns in the background too. It just has a great sound to it.
Yeah, it's a really tight, taut pop record, brilliantly produced by Mike Mogus, who's done a lot of work with Bright Eyes and other people on the Shadow Creek label. I particularly like the sort of the dark wordplay. I mean, he's sort of talking about an unrequited love and comparing it to Guantanamo, and brings up a line that I love, waterboard me with Call Me Maybe. You know, it's how he slips that in there. I don't know. Not many people could get away with it, but it's a really fun record with some dark underpinnings and well worth checking out.
No, it's definitely an interesting record. I mean, I was a huge proponent of Man Man's when they first came out, when they were back on the Ace Foo label and they put out their first record. And this new album of theirs, it's been interesting to see them progress from making music that took on all of these like Eastern European sounds. Slowly, those sounds became a little sort of kitschy and gimmicky for them, and it was sort of overtaking their songwriting. But on this record, they really stripped a lot of them back and just tried to write really straightforward for them, just very zany tracks. And Honus, the pseudonym of the guy who fronts the band and writes a lot of the tunes, his wordplay has always been very just tortured, but also funny as well, and sort of how the words present that.
The first time I ever heard Man Man was right here on the show, and you brought me some of the music, Anthony Fantano, from The Needle Drop. Rich Martin, some of the other things I just want to talk to you about before we run out of time. It was a big year in local music, too. You and your lovely wife, Daphne Lee Martin, who's been on our program before playing her new music, are a big part of the new London music scene and the Connecticut music scene. It just seems like it was a really good year.
Yeah, I think this class of musicians that we've got going now is probably the best face we put forward as a state. And as long as I've been involved in the music scene, there's just some incredible records that came out, including Ellison Jackson's I Do Not Fear to Kill a Dead Man. The new Violent May record is fantastic. Bedroom Rehab Corporation, Red Over Red, is this incredible stoner heavy metal piece. Daphne's record is incredible. A couple Fake Babies EPs. Some really, really great stuff coming out, and hopefully more of it in 2014. Maybe this is the year the state really breaks through nationally, you know.
Hey, and before I let you go, Rich, very, very quickly, you posted something on Facebook about somebody that you and I both know, somebody who's part of the artistic scene in New London, Connecticut, and we have it up on our Facebook page right now. Could you just maybe give a little shout out to Somali?
Yeah, you know, Somali Hay is just an incredible person. If you get a chance to read about her on the link on NPR, it's well worth it. She survived the killing fields of the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, her native Cambodia, and immigrated to the United States. Most recently, she opened a shop here in New London, so has sort of captured all of our hearts here. And she was recently diagnosed with cancer, and she and her husband, Khan, are really being overwhelmed by the medical expenses. Unfortunately, the Obamacare had not kicked in full gear to really help them along, and they are just getting overwhelmed right now. So we're doing a little fundraiser to try and generate some goodwill and some dollars to help them through a really difficult time.
And if you want to find out more, go to the Where We Live Facebook page. Rich Martin from The Telegraph in New London, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much, Rich.
Thank you, John. Have a great one.
Now, in the background here, we're going to hear a little bit of music from a guy named Tim Hecker that I didn't know very much about. But this is music, Anthony, that is your favorite music, or at least your favorite album of the year. Could you just tell us a little bit about this as we listen to this beautiful sort of piano piece?
Yeah, Tim Hecker is an electronic musician, a composer, an ambient music producer from Canada, and he's been putting out records for years. This is one of many that he's put out over the course of his career, and it's sort of slowly becoming one of my favorites. The album title is Virgins. And I think on this record, he took a lot of noises, he took a lot of drones, and he took a lot of live instrumentation, too, coming from piano and harmonium and synthesizers, and basically took performances of him playing these instruments and sampled them, layered them on top of one another, reversed some of them, and just manipulated them to the point where it no longer sounds like you're just hearing a regular music performance, but sort of a strange electronic music manipulation. And this track, Black Refraction, is maybe one of the most natural sounding on the record, but it's one of my favorites as well.
It's a beautiful, beautiful record. And I'll just say quickly, Anthony, that you had a lot of other, I thought, amazing electronic music by Daniel Avery, a record called Drone Logic, a record that we didn't get a chance to listen to by John Hopkins. It seemed like a really interesting, again, diverse year for electronica, just many different types of sounds and composers.
Yeah, John Hopkins' new record, Immunity, is definitely one of my favorite electronic music records of the year, simply because of how much he embraces acoustic sounds as well on the record, putting a piano throughout the record too, and putting some pretty moody and introspective melodies on the track is on the tracks throughout that record as well. Again, the album's title is Immunity.
We're running so low on time here. Hey, Tucker, could you cue up this Ka record? It's called 30 Pieces of Silver.
Even kept loaded toes around closest friends. Why so? Doing sly maneuvers, kept eyes open. Hoping the crew don't got a Judas, my world observed me. So at least you're familiar. In the ebb and flow, you never know who dirty reaching to kill ya. After feast, go alert the beast to reveal ya. While you sleep, turn you up for 30 pieces of silver.
Clear future past. This record is one of your rap records of the year. This particular track, it sounds like an Ennio Morricone film soundtrack. I just love this record.
Yeah, Ka's new record, The Knight's Gambit. Ka is a very interesting rapper. There have been a few hip-hop artists over the past few years or so, one who actually appears on this record, Rock Marciano, who sort of takes a very, very quiet approach to rapping on the microphone and sort of tries to draw you in, you know, with just their very soft approach as opposed to sort of getting out in your face. And, you know, Ka's songs are one of the first of that style to sort of actually grip me, in that his songs actually sound really chilling and eerie in a way. And even though he doesn't have a traditional rap flow, you know, it sort of borders more on spoken word. I do find a lot of his wordplay and a lot of the very gritty tales that he delivers to be pretty thrilling.
There's a lot more music on Anthony's list that you can find at theneedledrop.com. We didn't get a chance to hear the Miriam the Believer record. The String of Everything is something amazing. The Knife has a record that's one of your favorites of the year. Just talk about that very quickly.
Yeah, Swedish electronic music duo The Knife. New album's title is Shaking the Habitual. And if you're looking for an electronic music record that is for sure going to be one of the most freakish you've heard this year, with its vocals, with its combination of electronic and acoustic drum timbres, because they do pull together rhythms and beats from around the world to make this record, as well as some experimental tracks as well, just a lot of sound play. There is like a 20-minute long ambient cut on this record, like bringing it around 100 minutes in length. It is a very strangely formed record, but I love it.
Well, Anthony Fantano from The Needle Drop, thank you so much for sharing some of this music with us. I really appreciate it. As always, we'll look forward to another great 2014 with you.
We will.
If you want to continue this conversation online, it's at WNPR.org. There you'll see some of our picks of the year, including my pick of Album of the Year. He's a guitarist named Bombino, is on a lot of end-of-the-year lists. It's one of my favorites, sort of a desert rock record. And in the background, yes, I promised this, this is my favorite band, Wilco, covering Daft Punk's Get Lucky this summer at Solid Sound at Mass Mocha. We'll leave you with this. Our program was produced today by Tucker Ives with Lydia Brown. Katie Talarski is the executive producer of WNPR's Where We Live. I'm John Dankowski. Thanks for joining us.
What is this out feeling?